Dublin's Talking Sport with Ken Doherty and Reggie Corrigan.
Sponsored by InsureMyCars.ie, low-cost car insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyCars.ie.
On Sunshine 106.8.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
Dublin's Talking Sport.
Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sports podcast with me, Ken Doherty, and my good friend, Reggie Corrigan. Thanks for tuning in to catch up on the latest GAA, football, rugby, and all the crack. Enjoy the show, and don't forget, rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Reg. Good morning. What a beautiful morning.
Well, it depends. Whereabouts in the world are you now? Where are you?
I'm in London now. London, I'm okay. In England. The sun is shining. Ready for golf today.
Well, it's cold here, I can tell you that. We woke up to a cold snap here in Dublin, and it's a bit... the forecast isn't great for the weekend, but we'll get on with it. There's still plenty of sport to keep us occupied. Have you come down yet?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Still on cloud nine.
Oh, my God. What a match.
Lost the old voice screaming at the television last week.
I have to say, it was a brilliant match. I was glued to it myself. Wasn't expecting it to be anywhere near as good as that. Thought to myself, here we go.
No.
Liverpool are back in control. They'll do what they need to do now. It'll all be done. But, oh my God, what a game.
What a match. What a finish as well, wasn't it? I mean, it was so exciting. I thought they were gone. There was no way I thought they were going to come back, particularly when they... They lost those two goals early, late in the first half.
Yeah.
But they came back, and even in extra time when they went the goal down, Anthony with his right foot, believe it or not, which he normally uses only just to get on the bus, scored the equaliser, and then Ahmad scored the winner. I mean, what a finish! It was just amazing, quite incredible. That's what FA Cup is about, and of course that's what. The Liverpool United games are all about as well. End-to-end stuff, very exciting. And, got the result. Didn't expect it, but we got it in the end. It was fantastic.
And then on top of that, Coventry, it's... couldn't have gone better from that point of view. I know Coventry
I was screaming at the television when the draw came out as much as I was for the last goal.
I think it's huge as well, though. I mean, the way there's games where you're looking at and you're watching and you're kind of going, even if they do get the result, will a manager be saved or whatever? It feels like this was it. It had to happen to save Ten Hag. If it didn't, he was definitely gone. Now we don't know where we are.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know where we are, and we still have a lot of rumours, a lot of talk about Gareth Southgate coming in after the Euros, which is a possibility, because his tenure is sort of probably coming to an end. I mean, this is last, you would expect him, the last big championship for him, he'd come very close before. He's done really well with England, so he would be a good manager. He's young, he's ambitious. He gives a lot, the young players a really good chance, He's brought Maynard into the side now for these upcoming internationals, but Ten Hag, he's hanging on by his fingernails. There's no doubt about that, But Ferguson was back all those years ago, before Mark Robbins scored against Nottingham Forest. It could be the same, I think he'd have to win it, maybe an even top four to start to achieve that, to give him a little bit more time. But certainly after beating Liverpool in the dramatic way that he did. It shows that the players are with him still. He still has the confidence of the dressing room. That's a big thing. Whether he has the tools to go on and lift silverware for Manchester United, that's another thing. But they'll just be sort of buying time at the moment. I hope so. I like Ten Hag, to be honest. I just think, he hasn't had enough support. I know, like with Anthony, he was a bad boy. I don't think he wanted Casemiro, he wanted De Jong, but I just think it was the buying policy of Manchester United that sort of unsorted him a little bit, and hasn't really got off to a good, really sort of tenure, Okay, they did okay in his first season, but this season has been a disaster. Lots and lots of injuries and lots of bad results. So, but this little cup run, maybe the maker of them, as I said, it was Ferguson's back in 1989, all those years ago, you know, and look at what he did. But it could be the same. You never know.
Time for GA now, and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Sean Lane. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Morning, Reggie. I'm very good.
Excellent stuff, yeah. Well, we had the ladies' football last round, and with a couple of juicy fixtures.
Yeah, we're right down to the wire on it, Reggie. It's a straight shootout. Armagh and Dublin are playing today, and then you've Kerry and Galway. The significance, Armagh have qualified for the league final, so Greg McGonagall will be delighted with that. They've smashing players with Kelly Mallon and Amy Meehan up there. So they're flying, and they've won 6 games out of 6. From a Dublin perspective, they are where we said they'd be, Reggie. They've all the big guns back. Orla Nolan, Hannah Tyrrell, Jennifer Dunn, Carla Rowe, Marta Bourne, they're all back for this afternoon. But the unfortunate thing is it's not in Dublin's hands, Reggie. If they win and Kerry win, well, Kerry are through to the final. So the big game will really be the Kerry-Galway game. And, you know, Kerry have been going reasonably well, had a dip in form, but they just need to beat Galway. Now, on form, you'd say they will beat Galway, but Galway came to Parnell Park there and only lost by a point with a fairly packed Dublin side. So, you know, Anna Galvin, Louise O'Meara-Hertig, are playing good stuff for Kerry, but they've unearthed a very, very good girl in Emma Dineen as well, who plays at full forward for Kerry. So I just see Kerry getting through there, which from a Dublin point of view is a little unfortunate, Reggie. And you know, we can cover the final next week or the week after with our man Kerry, but look, let's see what happens. Anything can happen on the day.
Absolutely. Okay, well, in the Camogie as well, it's very tight at the top. What key games are on this weekend?
Yeah, I suppose, look, in 1A, there's 3 key games. We said last week there's 4 teams level on top. You've got Cork and you have Cork, Tipperary, Galway and Waterford. Cork are playing Clare this week, and look, they'll take care of them. They're the All-Ireland champions, and Clare are the one that's tailed off. Galway should probably take care of Waterford with home advantage. But the big game, Reggie, will be Kilkenny against Tipperary. Kilkenny have been one of the top 2, certainly 3 teams over the last 6 or 7 years. But Denise Gall has gone to Australia now, who's probably one of the top 2 players in the country for the last 10 years. So that's going to be a big loss to them. And also Grace Walsh is out through injury, so I'm expecting Tipperary, who went to Cork, who were the All-Ireland champions and beat them there a couple of weeks back, for Tipperary to overcome that. In 1B, look, Dublin are playing reasonably well, having seen them against Limerick. They're playing down and on form. I'd expect Dublin to win that and put themselves in promotion, in a promotion place themselves in Wexford for the league's final in Division 1B.
Absolutely, we look forward to that. Okay, look, the hurling semi-finals, we've 2 cracking games starting today, of course, but 2 cracking games this weekend. Limerick taking on Kilkenny today in Cork. Limerick favourites, but can you see any chance of an upset?
Yeah, I suppose any time you're playing Kilkenny, Reggie, and they're not favourites, you'd always be on the cards. Look, if you just take the 2 teams, I mean, John Coyley will be delighted. I mean, for a manager that doesn't need to find any players, I mean, he has unearthed a couple of really, really good players so far in the season, and also, you know, in Young English, and also Carl O'Neill. But like, over the last couple of weeks, he's brought back Declan Hannan. He's also brought back Sean Finn, starts his first game, and what a smashing player he has. He was out with a cruciate. And the week before that, he brought back Aaron Gillan and Keane Lynch. Now, look, they had a really cracking game against Galway the last day. They drew 17 points apiece. I just think Limerick will, you know, they're in a very, very good spot. Will they go full for leather? I think they will. They'll try and win this. But on the other side, and I looked at this Kilkenny team and I said to myself, look, they're definitely getting better. Firstly, they're the best goalie in the country. They have TJ Reid back and they have Mikey Carey back, so 2 smashing players. They're 2 players from Ballyhale, Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody, are actually playing really well, Reggie, and that may be down to the fact that they had a break for a while because they didn't come out as champions at Ballyhale. As you remember, Ballyhale were beaten in the final. They have the trio Lachlan Gales guys back, Mikey Butler, Hugh Lawler, Paddy Deegan. So, you know, we're getting to nearly 10 top class players there. But what Kilkenny just need, Reggie, is a John Donnelly and a David Blanchfield or a Keane Kenny to just step up and have that kind of imperious presence on a hurling field when it gets really tight, that they dominate their positions. If Kilkenny can get that, and probably maybe this weekend is a bit early for it, but come July, you know, Kilkenny could be the team to dethrone Limerick, but I'll stick with Limerick in this one.
Okay, well, in the other one, of course, tomorrow we look at Clare taking on Tipperary. Clare, slight favourites in that one, playing good hurling again, but Tip, you know, you never underestimate Tip, especially in the Clare-Tip match. Would you stick with Clare and think they'll come out on top?
I will just stick with them, Reggie. Yeah. I mean, they're in a good spot too. I mean, John Connell is back at centre back. David Fitzgerald was out through injury, but he came back the last day. And against Kilkenny, Reggie, he got 5 points from play. Now, they got six or seven from freeze. So he got 5 points from play out of about 12. So that's a fierce contribution. And also Mark Rogers is back for Clare as well. Clare unbeaten, which is good to say. Like, they beat Kilkenny in the league and beat them in a nice way, Reggie. They were 16 points each with, you know, very little time left. And they got the last 3 points. And I know from working in Kilkenny for years, it's one way they don't like losing a game. They'd certainly like winning them that way. Mm. So I will stick with Clare, but from a Tip point of view, he definitely has a nice blend of youth and experience. You know, the Jake Morris, Jason Ford, Gerard O'Connor, good find, Dan McCormack. They're really, really Tipperary good. The only thing I'd say about Tip from a form perspective, I mean, Limerick did beat them, and I thought they beat them well. Now, they only beat them a point, Reggie, but I thought Tip got two or three handy goals against Limerick, where Limerick didn't score a goal at all. So I will stick with Clare and Limerick to contest the league final, but I'm really looking forward to two juicy, as you call them, matches over the weekend starting. I think it's 4:30 this afternoon at a Cork venue for the Limerick Kilkenny game.
Absolutely, and let's hope the weather doesn't have too much of an adverse effect on those games, because the forecast isn't great, but I'm really looking forward to them, there's no doubt about it. Okay, well, it's the last round of the Football League as well. Final place is up for grabs. Delighted to be joined on the line by Brian Talty. Good morning, Brian, how are you?
How are you doing, Reggie?
Oh, never better. Sean is here in studio as well. Some good old...
You couldn't shut him up there.
I know. Nothing new there.
When he starts talking about hurling, you're in trouble.
That's it. Look, we'll talk about football, and there's some good matchups this weekend, looking at Kerry and Galway and Dublin Tyrone. Sean, it's going to be a cracking weekend of football too.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're right down to round seven, and Brian has given us great coverage over the first six rounds, so we're going to be right down to the wire now and to get you to start predicting who you think will be in the finals, Brian. So I suppose, look, we both agreed that Davy Burke from Roscommon is a smashing manager, but I'd have to say I was disappointed in Roscommon's approach and only scored 111, a point that you made last week as well. But how do you see them, and how do you see Mickey Hart approaching that game, having, you know, with Derry already qualified for the league final?
Yeah, absolutely disappointed in Roscommon's performance the last day. I thought they had no aggression at all when they lost possession of the ball. They were slow going forward with the ball into the forward line, and as we've often said, Sean, on this programme, they have really good forwards, but he needs to get something to get it going and to get the scores. They had a lot of missed scores the last day, but I think the ball has gone up to them so slowly, it's unbelievable. And they need to up their work rate. I think they need to up their work rate when they lose possession of the ball. If they play like they did the last day against Derry, they could be in huge trouble today, because, as I say, their tackling when they lost possession was very, very poor. And this Derry defence will come forward. I don't know how many goals they've scored, but Conor McCluskey scored a goal the last day. It was a fantastic goal. Look, Derry are absolutely flying, and Mickey Hart is the type of man who wants to win every game. Now, it was interesting, he didn't want to win the game against Dublin the last time, but I think they are looking at a league final. They're the only team that are coming out saying, we really want to get to a league final and win a league final. They're not afraid to go up against Dublin in Croke Park, and that's great to see. So I think they're going to qualify for the final, and they're going to be playing Dublin in that final, and Ross are in trouble and they could be relegated. Now, it's between themselves and Galway, so I do like Roscommon, but I'm hoping that they're going to lose and Galway will stay up.
My poor mother would never forgive you for that. But I mentioned in Galway, I mean, you know, like, they can't take it. I mean, we don't know how Mickey Hart will put his team out. Will he do what he did against Dublin? But from a Galway point of view, firstly, the first question on Galway is, you know, with all the injuries, and we won't go back over them, but you know, are there two or three key players that he has unearthed where he'd be saying, well, I'm going to be using these in the Connacht Championship now, I've seen enough of them in the league from a Galway perspective?
Look, that's the big thing for Galway. As you said, look, at the leaders of the team aren't there. They're all stars aren't playing. They haven't played all year, which is a problem as well later on because they haven't got game time. So you'd be a bit worried about that. But definitely, I like the performance of Sean Fitzgerald at fullback. Did a good job on Conor Callan for a lot of the game the last day. Johnny Marr did a good job in the middle of the field against Fento, who's one of the best players in the country at the minute. Killino Coran got some great scores, and Johnny McGrath has been brilliant all through the league. So that's the big plus for Galway. Hopefully they won't go down. It's not the end of the world if you do go down, but it's good to be playing these quality games, and the young lads are getting quality games, six quality games, and that will bring them on for championship, and hopefully we'll be able to add on our all-stars then at that stage. Yeah. And you'll have a good strong Galway squad.
You certainly will. Just, is there any update on some of these? We certainly, you know, say to the Shane Walsh and young Comer, I mean, you know, do people know that we will have them back for championship, or is it later in the season or what?
Well, there doesn't seem to be anything coming out of the camp about them, to be honest with you. But there must be major injuries when you think of it, Sean. They haven't played any of their league games at all. The same with Killeen McDade, Liam Silk. You know, all these fellas are vital to Galway. Like, Sean Kelly is injured again, so we don't know what's happening. And Porrick says he's not wrapping them up in cotton wool to keep them for championship. It's just they cannot play, and that's it. So hopefully they're going to be ready for championship. The big problem, as I say to you, Sean, is they haven't got game time in the league, and that could be a problem down the line.
Yeah, for sure. And I suppose, look, at if you're Brian Duer in Tyrone, you'll be saying to yourself, look, this is a great way to go in and play Dublin. We are safe. We don't have to worry about relegation. It's in Croke Park. We've had a couple of good players, the young Canavans and all of that. We've spoken about them. And Dublin will want to win the game because they can't take a chance by losing the game, and Kerry had won. So Dublin will be trying to win the game. Tyrone will be doing their level best. I mean, how do you see that game? I mean, that should be an interesting game.
Yeah, really looking forward to it because, as you say, Tyrone are safe. They're not going to get to a league final. Will they go out and express themselves in Croke Park? Because you look, Darren McCurry, Derek Hanavan, Kieran McGeaney is back there again. So will they go out and express it? We'd love to see Canavan and these fellas, you know, having a good game in Croke Park, in the spaces of Croke Park. But remember this, Dublin will be marking those guys. Dublin know exactly what to do when, you know, they probably have Merchant to mark Canavan or somebody like that. And it's a good experience for Dublin fellas, even if it's one of the young lads like Keane Murphy or one of those going in to mark one of these guys. Looking forward to a good game in Croke Park. But the way Dublin are playing, and they're flying at the moment, and even the young lad Sean, like the last day man of the match was Sean Bugler, who's beginning to look like a young Kieran Kilkenny now. So that's ominous for everybody else, you know. Killeen McGuinness came on, and Ross McGarry playing really well, and that Dublin team, if you remember last week, the subs that came on were the likes of Paul Mannion, Jack McCaffrey, Colly Bascal. You're retired and you're playing in Croke Park and you see these guys coming in and top you, not a great one to be looking for. But Tyrone, in fairness to them, they're safe, as you say, and I hope to come up, express themselves, and that we see, like, Canavan is an outstanding footballer. He's just like his old fella. He's beautiful to watch. So I hope we see some of that as well. And as I say, Dublin are playing with great power, pace, and speed, and their aggression when they lose possession of the ball is fantastic. So they'll hope to keep that up and drive on with the momentum, because they're going to be in a league final.
So the last question before Reggie takes it back off me here. League final, your prediction, and the two teams to be relegated. We know Monaghan is already relegated, but it's between Galway and Roscommon from a relegation. Who do you see going down this evening or tomorrow evening?
Well, I hope Roscommon played the way they did last week. Being a Galway man, I'm hoping that Galway will put on a good performance. I think Galway have a good chance in Kerry because, you know, when I was trying to preview the game, I was looking at saying, how are they going to mind the Cliffords? The Cliffords aren't playing now, so and Jason Foley is gone. So I think Galway have a good chance down there. Obviously, I'm hoping it's Galway. It won't be the end of the world for either team if they go down, but I think Roscommon and Monaghan will go down. And I think the league final will be Dublin Derry. Full Derry team coming out to try and beat the Dubs. Should be a great game.
Time to turn our attention to rugby now. Delighted to be joined on the line by Irish Independent journalist and left-wing podcaster Will Slattery. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Good, thanks, Reggie. How are you?
Oh, very good. I was indeed feeling a lot better after last week. job done, I suppose. The match wasn't all that exciting. I was at it, but it was, like I said, job done, and we got to lift the trophy at the end of it, and no real shocks. But I suppose from some, maybe Scotland were a bit better than we thought they were going to be, but it was never really in doubt that we were going to get the job done. So happy days all round.
Yeah, I suppose job done is probably the accurate way of describing it, because I think I touched on last week when Andy Farrell picked the same team again from Twickenham. Obviously, there was the late change with Hugo Keenan, but at the time it was the same team. I don't think there'd be a bounce that, you know, losing to England, losing the Grand Slam would elicit a response in terms of the performance. And I don't want to start off with a negative, but I was a little disappointed that the performance didn't really come. They were stronger than Scotland in most aspects. They dominated most of the game. Scotland defended really well at times, especially in the first half, and frustrated Ireland and made them look kind of pedestrian in attack. But ultimately, it wasn't a great performance. As you say, tournaments are there for winning. Back-to-back Six Nations is a phenomenal achievement. But Ireland know, Andy Farrell knows, that if they want to go to South Africa in the summer and win a test, they're going to have to be a lot better than they were the last 2 weeks, I think. Funnily enough, like, they started the tournament obviously really well with that win over France. I think each before Gallagher has been playing really well, a little worse. I think by the end of the tournament, I think maybe a few changes would have probably been the right move. And ultimately, like, someone like Ronan Gallagher has been playing really well. Don Sheehan looked a little tired. You know, likewise, Joe McCarthy looked a little leggy as the tournament went on. So maybe freshening it up in a couple of positions would have, performance-wise, improved things. But ultimately, they got the win they needed. They lifted the trophy, back-to-back Six Nations for the, you know, the second time and the third time in the history. Going back into the Five Nations is a great achievement.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you would have discussed this in detail with the rest of your colleagues on the Left Wing podcast, but, you know, what would be the learnings for Farrell, do you think, out of this tournament? And also, from a future, looking to the future point of view for Ireland,
I'm going to jump out to me. I think
what areas really need to be bolstered a bit?
Well, two things kind of jump out to me. I think towards the end of the tournament, the attack at times did look a little, I wouldn't say predictable, but Scotland looked to be defending it quite comfortably, in particular in that first half. Now, Mike Catt is moving on at the end of this summer tour against South Africa. Andrew Goodman is coming in. It's probably the perfect time for that change, in the sense that obviously Mike Catt has had great success. Ireland's attack has been running in a lot of tries. So I'm not saying he hasn't done a good job or anything like that, but the same person has been there for, you know, the first 4 years of Andy Farrell's reign, or five at the end of this season. So it's funny. So I'm expecting that to look a little tradies. Obviously, at Leinster, you know, they play pretty similarly, but he's a different guy, different experiences. So I'm expecting that to look a little different. I think one lesson for Andy Farrell is just the bench and how he uses it. Like, there's been so much made of the 6-2 split, but on a couple of occasions, I thought he's been pretty slow to use that bench. And for me, it kind of defeats the purpose of loading it up with those big forwards if you're not going to go there when the game is kind of at the 50 minute on. Against England, I think they made three or four substitutions before Ireland made their first one, which was at the 63rd minute mark, and Ireland were really leaking oil at that stage, and I just thought they never really wrestled back the momentum. So for Andy Farrell, I think that's something he should look at. And again, you know, the point I made there about maybe freshening things, be like, is it better to, obviously he opted to go pretty much the full team every week bar a couple of tweaks. Is that something that needs to be looked at in terms of tournament rugby? Like, is it better to maybe freshen things up slightly? Because some of these guys on the bench, as I mentioned, obviously Don Sheehan is one of the best hookers, if not the best in the world. But I thought Ronan Gallagher really grew into the tournament. And even for squad morale, to reward players with the starting berth, it's not as if Don Sheehan is being dropped. So there's a couple of things there that would spring to my mind as we head into not only this summer series, but then we have a blockbuster four-game stand in the autumn with the All Blacks coming on a Friday night. And then we're going into another Six Nations campaign going for three in a row. So there's no easy time to blood players. It's going to be a tricky kind of period for that regard. But yeah, there's a few things there I think that Ireland will look to improve on.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on from the for them to begin with women's game. Of course, their Six Nations campaign starting against France, not the easiest one, it has to be said, for them to begin with. This is a team that has been under the microscope for quite a long time. You know, Greg McWilliams didn't have much success with them. There were arguments that maybe he wasn't given access to all of the players that he should have been given access to. Scott Beaman has come in now. There's lots of talk coming out of the camp that it is a happy camp. The players talking about how much they enjoy the sessions and the style of game that they're looking at. Campaign going for. albeit against France as a starter, that's going to be a difficult one. How do you see this campaign going for this squad of players, and what are their chances?
Well, I think it'll be a tough opening fixture. As you mentioned, France are one of the top teams in the world. I think they're like, Ireland are like 40-point underdog or something mad like that. I suppose, as you mentioned there, having access to some of the top sevens players is huge. Like, I think Greg McWilliams, if he's watching the game today, I'd say he's feeling pretty frustrated if he sees the team sheet and sees that, you know, Bavin Parsons, for instance, is in there. Yeah. Who has the potential to be so great to see. The fact that I'll be star, but I feel like an Irish sporting star in an era where women's sport is getting so much more promotion, and it's so great to see. The fact that Ireland, the rugby team, have been denied their marquee talent in the biggest shop window, I think, is, we've talked about it in the show, I think it's been criminal. I think it's been negligent by the IRFU in terms of growing the game. So even having Bavin Parsons in today, you know, today is just about getting performance-wise off to a good start. I don't think anyone's expecting them to beat France, but if they can play well and build on it for the winnable games that are coming later, maybe against, you know, Wales, Scotland, Italy will be the ones you might target. England are obviously streets ahead of everybody else too, out of the camp. So for me, where they're at, but Scott Beaman is coming in from that England setup with a big pedigree. There does seem to be, as you say, good talk, excuse me, coming out of the camp. So for me, today is about building that performance level. Hopefully they can hold on to some of these players for the majority of the tournament. I think it remains to be seen how available they will be, but even getting them for this game I think is great, because I'd rather have them for one game than having them not at all, like was the case for some of Greg McWilliams' campaign. So that's a positive, I think, ultimately.
You are talking about the sevens crossover there, and you know, what do you make of that? I mean, why is scheduling so strange?
Well, you can't really play 15. Like, they're two separate sports. You know, we've seen with Antoine Dupont, it's the same thing. If you want to play sevens, ultimately you can't really play 15s in the Six Nations, or really, you can't really play both. So the IRFU have been prioritising sevens. And to be fair, like, they qualified for the Women's Olympic, or the Olympics, and from the women's side for the first time. So you can at least argue this time it's been a success, whereas the first time they didn't even qualify. We talked about it before. I think we all know what people in this country prefer watching. Like, will there be a massive uptick in sevens rugby after the Olympics? I doubt it. People will probably tune in, but I've always said the six and the ground running with a performance today, but in Ireland, and just having Bavin Parsons and some of her sevens teammates is perfect for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if they hit the ground running with a performance today, but ultimately I think France will be a good bit too strong. So the scoreboard might look ugly potentially, but if they can just, as I said, look competitive, look like they're building, I think that'll be a reasonable success given where France are at the moment.
It's a little bit ironic, isn't it, that, you know, in the men's game, the sevens was ignored and the 15s was prioritised and there was no players being released, and in the women's game it's the opposite, and you could, with a cynical eye, look at it and go,
that's way for
the Olympics and maybe the extra funding that you might get.
Well, yeah, I think that's definitely it. Like, I think the pathway for unlocking funding on the women's side of the game, it does seem to be through that Olympic pathway. And it's funny, like, they're kind of like robbing Peter to pay Paul for me, because they're like weakening the 15s product. Like, I'm sure Ireland would be a great sevens nation if we just like kind of loaded up all our great 15s players into the team like they've done on the women's side of it. But what would that say, what would that do for the men's product? I don't think people would be flocking to the Aviva Stadium in quite the same numbers if, you know, Hugo Keenan and Jameson Gibson Park and, you know, all these guys, Gary Ringrose, were all lining out for the sevens instead. Like, we saw what happened with DuPont leaving in the Six Nations. It had a disastrous impact on France, and I'm sure some of their French supporters are questioning it as well.
Absolutely. Well, we wish the Irish team and new coach Scott Beaman all the very best. As you said, it's going to be a tough one against France, but there are definitely the home games, of course, being Wales, Italy and Scotland. There are opportunities there, and I really do hope that it's a strong campaign in that sense, in the home games, from the Ireland women's team, because I think it's needed. I need the growth of the game needs it, and there's no question it's been crying out for that for a while. So we wish them the very, very best of luck in their campaign as they start. Let's have a look at Munster now. A good performance last night, and some interesting signings as well during the week. I'm looking at the signing with Billy Burns, and I'm just not sure the answer to that. I don't know, is it the best signing, and is it necessary?
Well, I think it's necessary that they sound it out half, because Joey Carberry is gone. Ben Healy has already left, obviously. They only have Tony Butler really in reserve. And given that Jack Crowley is now the number one with Ireland, is going to be missing a lot of games. They do need someone with some experience. Like, obviously, Billy Burns is very hit and miss with Ulster. As a secondary out half, I don't mind it, to be honest. I think he's good enough that, like, Billy Burns will only really be there to kind of steer them through games like, say, last night, where you saw Joey Carberry. Like, the difference a good out half can make in that scenario. Like, I thought he played quite well last night. Mm. Obviously, if he's tasked to play in some big Champions Cup games, that will be a different story. But, you know, it depends how much he's really asked to do. I actually don't mind the signing. I can see why people would look at it and say he hasn't had great success with Ulster. Why do Munster want him? But I think as a replacement kind of out half, I think they could do a lot worse, especially when it seems that none of the Leinster guys want to leave. Obviously, you'd love if Kieran Frawley, from a Munster perspective, they'd love Kieran Frawley or Harry Byrne or someone like that. But since they all want to seem to stay put, I think that's probably one of the best options they had. I don't know what kind of funds they might have had to attract someone from overseas. And nor do you really need or want a massive name, because ultimately Jack Crowley will be getting the lion's share. So, like, breaking the bank on Damian McKenzie or someone like that doesn't make a whole pile of sense in that regard. So, I don't mind the signing, actually.
Well, now, delighted to be joined on the line by Alan Colley. Morning, Al. How are you?
I'm good, Reggie. Yourself?
Oh, fantastic now, I have to say. In great form. Looking forward to the football, I have to say, this evening. Belgium coming to town in the Aviva Stadium. It's going to be an interesting game, no question about it. It's been great build-up to this game, I have to say, during the week. I've enjoyed looking at the press conferences and listening to John O'Shea and the way he's conducting himself. And there seems to be a good feeling around the squad at the moment.
Yeah, he's been quite impressive, to be fair, Reggie. The fact that obviously he doesn't have a lot of experience in this, I suppose, kind of build-up, as you say, in press conferences and media stuff. I think he's handled everything really well and spoke really well, John, and he's a very likeable person. Everybody is very fond of John O'Shea off the back of, I suppose, what he achieved as a player, the service he gave Ireland, the level that he played at. And the general consensus I can kind of see out there is that I don't think anyone would have any qualms if he was given the job full-time.
Yeah.
And I suppose a lot of that will base, Reggie, on these two games coming up. So today is the first one and then the game against Switzerland on Tuesday evening. And the way these things work in football, and I'm sure you're well aware, Reggie, is that at the moment, obviously, there's still, while all the uncertainty is ongoing with them trying to find a new manager, and that certainly has turned a bit negative in the last few weeks, because they were quite hopeful of maybe getting Lee Carsley, but he's obviously ruled himself out now. And the longer these things go on with that uncertainty, the closer it seems coming to John O'Shea becoming the manager. And if these two games go well, and sometimes these can be short term decisions, if these two games go well, I wouldn't be surprised to see him named as the permanent manager next week, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's something that struck me during the week as well. As you said, he conducts himself very well in the interviews, but also you're sort of reminded of the amount of experience that he has, because, you know, how quickly you can forget. But of course, he went through the whole youth system. He's captained his country, incredible record as a professional player himself, has worked under some unbelievable managers. And you're kind of going, hang on a second, when Roy Keane's name gets thrown out, there's never a question over it. No one bats an eyelid, and they kind of go, yeah, wouldn't it be great to get Roy Keane and everything else? But the fact is, Roy hasn't actually coached at a high level in such a long time. That what's wrong with O'Shea coming in? Why wouldn't he be seen in the same light?
Yeah, I think it's probably getting closer and closer to that, Reggie, and I would agree with everything that you say in terms of his experience. We all know, obviously, the level that he played at, the managers, Alex Ferguson, and the one thing that I liked in the press conferences as well, and from listening to John, is that everything is simple and clear. There's nothing complicated about what he's saying. It's all very simple and clear, and I'm sure that's the message that he's obviously relaying to the players as well. And of course, if you think of that generation of players that are there now, they would have looked up at John O'Shea when he was winning Champions Leagues at Man United.
Mm.
So he's seen as a legendary figure to
Absolutely.
Them as well, Reggie. So there's huge respect towards him in that regard as well.
Alan, that is hugely important, that that players believe in the message that a coach is giving them, because they understand that he's been there and done that. That has so much weight.
100%, Reggie, yeah. And as I say, even his presence alone in a dressing room or walking into a room or in the restaurant having dinner, whatever the case may be, just around the group, of course they all have that kind of, he has that air of he's been there, done it, played at the highest level. Of course all players, everyone looks towards somebody like that and thinks, like, you know, as if there's a sheen off him. Yeah, so yeah. I definitely think in that regard, Reggie, and the fact that he has Brian in with him, the bit of experience behind him, he is the good kind of lads that played as well, Glenn Whelan, Paddy McCarthy, he has built up, assembled a good backroom team, it would appear to be anyway. Of course, everything revolves around the games and the results, but the way football is very fickle and the fickle nature of fans and, as I say, decision makers, if he was to get two victories in and we played great, he'd be getting the job next week, Reggie. Oh, yeah, like it's almost as fickle as that, it really is. Yeah. And on the flip side of that, if things weren't to go well, of course it'd be back to the managerial hunt. But the reason I say he's very strong, I feel, towards getting the job potentially, is I suppose one, because where we're coming from, he do no worse than where we're at. He's been involved in that camp in terms of bringing those players that have come through under Stephen and that good work. Those players are ready to go now, a lot of them. And John obviously has a relationship with a lot of them. And whilst the uncertainty remains around us trying to find a manager, he's in prime position, really, you know.
Yeah, and also he's got a squad of players there. You know, probably the strongest squad we've seen for a while. Most of the big names are playing Premier League in a regular capacity on a weekly basis. I know Belgians are very highly rated. I understand how strong Belgium are. But, I mean, he has got a good squad of players to go with there, and he can maybe try some different combinations. What combinations would you like to see him going with?
I think from listening to him as well, and he understands obviously what, in terms of Irish football and our strengths and all that kind of stuff, that up and at them and take the game to Belgium. I know Belgium, you have to be very conscious of the fact that they're fourth in the world with world-class players, but they're coming to Dublin at a time when it's a friendly game to them. How much interest will they have? So it's probably a good time to play them in that regard, that we can go out and take the game to them and be attack-minded and try and go for the juggler, if you like. So the likes of Sammy Smodic is one that there's been a lot of talk about. He's in unbelievable form at club level, scoring goals, Reggie. So I definitely think you'll see him in the starting lineup. Ogben is having a fantastic season. With Luton, as we know, he's become a fan's favourite there, and of course the Irish public are big fans of his. And Mikey Johnson is one on the left as well that has emerged. Obviously he's played a bit part player because he's only been new to the camp under Stephen, but since he's gone to West Brom from Celtic, his form has gone through the roof and he's been scoring goals left, right and centre. So he's one as well that would excite you. So I definitely think you'll see those three in an attacking capacity with Evan Ferguson. Then it just depends, will he revert back to the back four or go with a back three? I think he'll go back to a back four, kind of knowing John O'Shea. I'd be surprised if he sticks with the three, and I definitely think you'll see a back four with maybe two sitting in front. So I definitely think it'll be a game where, as I said, the messaging is quite clear. He won't try to complicate things, and it'll be one of those performances where it'll be go out, have a go, a typical Irish performance that we've seen over the years that he has been involved in numerous times, and take the game to Belgium, and that's what the fans want to see. And I think it'll be an exciting game. I'm looking forward to it myself, Reggie. And as I say, like, from my point of view, the feeling I get out there amongst people is that they have no qualms whatsoever. And I certainly wouldn't either. I'm at the stage now where this chase has gone on so long. They're chasing people that don't even want the job. Why would you do that? Where you have a proud Irishman here who'd be so happy to be standing on that sideline leading out his country today, that I would leave him at it and let him get on with it, Reggie.
Bit of a predicament between the posts as well. Bazunu or Quivian Kelleher, who's had a good run of form recently. Which way would you go?
Yeah, we're very fortunate in that position because the two keepers are brilliant, and the fact that Bazunu has had the jersey because he's been playing regularly, I had no issues with that. But I always felt Kelleher, and it's not just because he's played well the last 2 weeks, but I always felt Kelleher was a better keeper. And that's not saying Gavin's not a good keeper. Both of them are excellent. I would just edge towards Keevan. And the fact that he's getting the game time in the last few weeks, I think he showed everybody what he's capable of. And it's one of those positions, Reggie, what's been difficult for him. It's hard dipping in and dipping out, and especially if you're viewed as the second choice. And no matter what you do, good or bad, the first choice is going to walk straight back into the team. Whereas we've always been brought up outfield players or whatever, that when you've the jersey, you hold on to the jersey if you play well. Keller was in a position where no matter what he did, Alisson was coming back in. I think what he showed in the last few weeks is that he showed Klopp that I'm here to challenge Alisson, that I'm not here now just to be his understudy. And I think he's been absolutely fantastic for Liverpool in the last few weeks, played his part in numerous big games, and I think he'll start the game today.
Thanks for listening to Dublin Stock and Sport on Sunshine 106.8 from myself, Ken and Reggie. Have a good weekend.